Okay, I think that the problem right now is not so much with the presidency or the administration. Are you talking about the administration in the White House primarily? Okay, for the first time, we have a president who is an environmentalist. Not really for the first time, I guess, because Teddy Roosevelt was an environmentalist, but in a very different sense. He was a conservationist and a preservationist, and very much a man for his time. Jimmy Carter has got the technical grasp of all the really complicated problems that we're trying to deal with today. I've worked with him since I entered the environmental field in 1970 very closely, and I have never seen, I've seen him at all times come down on the side of the environment. So I think the problem is not so much with, it's not at all with the White House. And then we have Kitty Shermer, who's head of the Domestic Council Division on Energy and the Environment. He's a very enthusiastic environmentalist and is totally supportive. In the past, in our agency, the administrators had to fight the White House as much as they had to fight anyone else. We're finding we don't have to fight the White House now, but my God, there's got to be some way of getting through to a Congress who weakens the Clean Air Act by giving extensions to the automobile industry when they walk outside the building, they can't breathe. I mean, that's an incredible situation to me, how that could happen, yet it does happen because of the pressure from their constituencies back home, because of the pressure from the labor unions, because of the pressure from the automobile manufacturers and the economic impact in the society. There's no reason why they can't make closer deadlines, or why they couldn't have made closer deadlines on auto emissions. So where we need the pressure and where we need the help is not with the White House. It doesn't need to be lobbied anymore. If it does, I'll let you know if things change. But it's with Congress. Yes. Yes, I see it as a possibility. That's what the Federal Regional Council is supposed to have been doing all these years. It hasn't worked, evidently, or this you wouldn't have run into this problem. I have a theory that our best constituency is an urban constituency, that the Environmental Protection Agency has never developed it, in many ways has misused it by putting developmental sewer lines in the suburban areas. We've drained and siphoned off a lot of the economic basis to make our cities strong and viable. One of the things that we're doing now is there's a special person on my staff, Dave Andrews, who was general counsel in San Francisco, who is going to be honchoing a study of how we can develop an urban constituency, involve them, make them aware of what we're doing, and find out what it is they want before we go and do. Because these aren't traditionally the people that show up at public hearings to tell us what they want. It's going to have to be an outreach sort of thing where we go to the people, find out what they want, where we go into the black communities, where we go into the Hispanic communities, where we go into the inner city where the poor live, who have never heard of public participation, and bring them into it, and then coordinate with other federal agencies to bring about a unified program to strengthen the inner city. These are the people that are the most impacted by air pollution, by water pollution.
Is it appropriate
to employ
to register in that particular project
for that individual working on that? Dave Andrews, 755-2711. Area code 202, yes. Yes.
I also know that they have, in many cases, delegated to a rather perfunctory delegation to one individual who received the and mailed the submission, maybe looks at them, maybe writes a letter, maybe throws them in the trash, and that there needs to be a reply on it. within that agency.
Within the community services. Well, I would say that's probably not the fault of the Community Services Association as so much as perhaps our historical fault in not communicating with them.
Well, both ways.
Yeah, both ways. But I always like to take the responsibility because if you don't, nothing gets done. Yes. Absolutely right. Public education has to go along with it. You can't just come in and say, what do you want, and expect them to have an answer. You really have been on both ends. Yes. I think that it behooves people who are interested in the environment, both in you as a public participation grassroots organizer, me as deputy administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, to make it clear to people how they're being affected. And one reason that we haven't done this is I think we have spoken, we, not you, but we at EPA have spoken in technical language. And it's hard to hear technical language. And yet that can certainly be transposed to, for instance, just the cancer rate. You know, that's easy to understand. Instead of talking about rats and mice, talking about, you know, it's incredible to think that in this room one out of four of us will get cancer. And yet that's going to happen. Yeah. So that we need to communicate in English. I know. But I think it can all be translated to English, don't you?
Mm-hmm. In fact, I've heard people put it very succinctly. But it frightens me because there's so much. You know, for instance, okay, from the area I'm in, there's also the Abwasansi Indian Reserve, which is a whole Mohawk Nation. They have had to take out their wells, and they have to use St. Lawrence River water. They're getting more cancer, more diseases because of that. These lines I'm talking about are going to surround the reserve. What happens when you get two or three of them together? These people are being wiped out. Where are they going to go? I mean, it's just another case of the minority being
right.
Wiped out, I guess is a better term. But you know, these are the things that, in a way, EPA may not hear about. And what do you do in these?
We're trying to get a unified approach to Indians. I mean, that's just one part, I know, of what you're talking about. But we have been working very closely with LaDonna Harris and with other leaders in the Indian community to come up with a program and a plan to not only help the Indians, but to make some of the funding that we have available, for instance, in our 208 program, available directly to the Indians rather than always sending people in to help them. But to be able to have a training program where they can learn to help themselves, because that's the whole basis, theoretically, of what our society is about. I started out as a social worker and have a master's degree in social work. And the old axiom of helping people to help themselves is the only way that anything can ever get accomplished that has any kind of a permanent and lasting value.
Some federal ruling that came down from, you know, there is one father in you. I don't mean to be spurious, but...
No, I appreciate your comments. I don't think they're spurious at all.
It's very upsetting when I see it on every side of it, you know, including myself, because I'm being screwed just as much as somebody else. What I said was, if they want to put a nuclear plant up in my area, put it in my backyard.
That's a good attitude. Yes.
What kind of protection are we going to see for the natural gas lines that are going to be coming down from the path that was just on?
Right.
What kind of protection are we going to see for our
environment? Okay, the question was, what kind of protection are we going to see from our environment from the natural gas lines coming down? The first phase of what we did with that was an environmental impact statement, as it often is, in which the Environmental Protection Agency, interestingly enough, said, and this is before I got to the agency or about the time I was getting to the agency, said that to have the gas line come down was a better alternative than no line at all. We selected the one that was the Alcan route that was selected in the long run. But we were the only agency that took the position that it would be better to have it come down. Now, the reason for that is because of the air pollution in the areas where it's coming. We would have had to have burned coal if we had not had that supply of natural gas. And the dangers from the air pollution far outweighed, we felt, the Office of Federal Activities felt, and we signed off on, far outweighed the dangers of anything that could happen with the natural gas line. What we've put together to avoid the mistakes of what happened on the oil line is an interagency committee that will be working full-time in Alaska, will coordinate with a top management committee. I'm representing the Environmental Protection Agency on that committee, to not only expedite it, but to see that all proper environmental controls are in place on schedule. Now, the exact plan for that is being worked out right now. But the controls should be 3 to 4 times greater than they were on the oil line.
What are they going to do in the oil line? Is that a great plan to go back and repair the kinds of damage that was done up there in Alaska in reference to the oil line?
On the oil line? Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know when the oil is going to run out. That's going to be a long time. So to say right now that I would guarantee that it will be, we're 30 administrations away, but there is a plan, yes. 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 And there are many questions, you know, on that. Are the caribou migrating? Many unanswered questions that we're learning from for the gas line. But they're still unanswered because we still don't know. It hasn't been in place long enough, yes. Right. I think you have a good deal of hope because the person who's in charge now of that division for the first time, again, like the first time we have an environmental president, is an environmentalist, Rupe Cutler. It takes a while to reverse the thrust of a giant bureaucracy. But he is aware of exactly the things you're talking about and is making a conscious effort to begin that reversal process. And I think you're going to see in the next year or so a big change in the Forest Service.
And also, I hope that some officials have been brought to the Corps of Engineers.
I think some already has been. In all reality, there is nobody up there besides God. I think we're all just people up there. And, the Corps of Engineers is in the process of being redirected by the president into areas that are more constructive. We got a memo from the president maybe 2 weeks ago saying, what can you think of that the Corps of Engineers can do with their expertise, which is great, that can redirect it toward protection of the environment? Is to
put in jetties all along the East Coast or else to remove them. I think the pictures of New Jersey, the easiest thing to do
is to remove it. Yes.
Now, the energy study, there's so much that is directed in the direction of nuclear energy, is so little that it's directed.
Solar energy? Yes. Well, within the Department of Energy, there are 8 assistant secretaries, and one of the assistant secretaries, who is going to be a woman, it hasn't been announced yet, so I can't say who it is, but she's going through her FBI check now, is going to be the assistant secretary for conservation and solar energy. And she will be the focal point within the Department of Energy and within the government for the development of alternative forms of energy. She's somebody who has had a good deal of experience on a state level with alternative forms of energy in the past.
How can we make her funding
better
so that we can get more research?
Yeah, I think that we'll have to wait until she gets in place and the Department of Energy gets in place, but I think there is going to be an emphasis, a pretty good emphasis, on the funding of alternative sources of energy, including solar energy. And how you can do that is, again, as I said, it's going back to Congress, because the problem isn't in the White House so much as it is in Congress. There are powerful lobbies up there who aren't as enthusiastic about solar energy as we may be. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Surely. Into the environmental impact statement process?
Well, I mean, who reads the impact study? You know, we know they're written, but we don't know where they go. I mean, do you have a, I can't
imagine. Well, we have an office of, yeah, we have an office of, well, you mean where does it go overall in government? We have an office of federal.
They send someplace. Who reads them and what qualifications do people have that they choose?
All right. We have an Office of Federal Activities that reviews all the environmental impact statements. The Council of Environmental Quality reviews all, and coordinates all impact statements. But you've hit on one of the problems that we need to deal with, and that is instead of having a sheath of papers, you indicated 6 inches thick, and that's true, they are. We need to have probably less detail. And again, more English. One of the things that we're trying to do now that the Council of Environmental Quality is working on is to be able to take environmental impact statements and give an English summary of exactly what's in that environmental impact statement so that it can be understood by more people and to uncomplicate the process somewhat. Yes. Yeah, there are, as I'm sure you're aware of. Yeah, there are public hearings all the way through the process. In fact, the way that I first became involved with the Environmental Protection Agency was after its inception in 1971, because I wanted an environmental impact statement done on a sewer line that was going to go into an area that was a wilderness area. And it was going to be an above-the-ground sewer line on the theory that everything, you know, sort of falls downhill with a pumping station with a waterfall encased in a pipe from a pumping station that was overflowing someplace. And we were able not only to get the environmental impact statement, I didn't do this obviously by myself, but many citizens working together and with the cooperation of the press who felt that what we were doing was right, we were able, and by making sure that we took part in every one of the hearings that were announced, we got the sewer line location moved and we got it tunneled through, blasted out and all through mountains, under the ground in the floodplain, so that you can make a difference. In fact, I think probably the NEPA process, the environmental impact statement process, is one place in the environment where citizens can make the most difference. And yes, they are red. That's why things are changed, why you see highways that aren't built. Oh, no, no, no. Time out. And it is red. Really, it is, and taken into consideration. Well, it's worked for me, but that doesn't mean that it works for everybody. I agree that we need to bring it out and make it closer to the people. The problem is, of course, that we can't have hearings everywhere. We are trying to decentralize it somewhat. And in a region, for instance, the region that we're in now, the federal region, not to have all of our hearings in Dallas because our headquarters is in Dallas, but to get out to Oklahoma, to get out to Arkansas, to get out where the people are and have some of our hearings there. Then, of course, the people in Dallas complain, but yes. That's right. In fact, I would say a majority of the decisions are made at relatively low grade levels in the regions. That's right. Absolutely.
then maybe this is one of the things we need to do. Maybe we need to get into this organization and infiltrate it.
She's saying that maybe women need to get into the organizations, various governmental organizations, and infiltrate them in order to make changes, which, of course, is why we have a recruiting booth here. Because I agree entirely with what you say. Yes. No.
No money, no
responsibility. No, we have a division of energy which relates to other agencies and works very closely with other agencies in this area, but we are not in charge of solar energy. That particular thing is going to land in the Department of Energy under the Assistant Secretary for Conservation and Solar Energy. Yes. Yeah, I see what you're getting at. The question was, how much is the small, beautiful concept impacting our country? I can't really answer that. I know that the president was interested enough in the smallest, beautiful concept that when Schumacher was here, he took time out of his busy schedule when he'd been here in office for perhaps 2 months to meet with Schumacher. I was in that meeting with the two of them, and it's a concept that the president is interested in. Now, how much it's impacting, I don't know. I just honestly can't say yet, because I haven't had time to follow it. We have time for one more question. There is one more. Yes, sir.
We are spending several amounts of money on preventing air pollution, clean air. It appears to me that one of the greatest pollution problems we have is cigarettes. Now, I think that if the government can't do anything about cigarettes, I resent spending my money to provide clean air than have somebody else inhaling through smoke and tobacco, which is on a government base on subsidies.
Well, I think you'll EPA is not, of course, directly involved with tax subsidies on tobacco, but again, I think that what you can do about that is to let your congressperson know how you feel about it. I'm always delighted to see, I went to a party the other night in Washington that was given by NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and people, when greeted at the door, said, the room on the left is where everything is going to be going on. You can't smoke in there. The room on the right is where the food is being served. You can smoke in there. If you'd like to smoke, there's one small room upstairs. So a lot of this is going to be done on an informal, and they meant it, too, because a couple of people lit up cigarettes, and they were immediately told to put them out. The things I see, the no smoking on elevators, I had to sit in the smoking section on a plane, and although I have to admit I occasionally smoke, I don't very often anymore, and I was sitting in the middle of a group of 20 people, all of whom were smoking, and it's a miserable thing. Some of them are going to have to be, controls will have to be informal. Sir, I think that the other controls are going to have to come from Congress. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. It's nice meeting with you all. I hope that during the conference, sometime, that if there are any other questions that you have or anything that you want to ask me personally, I hope I'll be available. I am going to be a delegate, so I'll be on the floor part of the time, but not all the time. Thanks.